morning, Joe.
Welcome to springtime again.
Another spectacular day.
It is just gorgeous. Yes, absolutely. It's a gift from Mother Nature this time of year, for sure.
Absolutely.
Is that allowing the city to get things done that might normally be put on hold for now?
Yeah, well, you know, the asphalt plants, they're really dependent on the weather.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this kind of weather, they stay open a lot longer. Therefore, with, you know, the road work continues and repairing potholes continues. So instead of that temporary patch you get during the winter, it's a good hot patch when the plants are open. So that's good stuff. And, of course, you know, we had a little bit of snow on the ground over a week ago, but we still have a lot of leaves to pick up around the city. So let's hope we don't have any white stuff for a while.
Exactly, yeah. I know the plan is, too, to put in a whole bunch of new trees across the city, so I'm sure this is helping with that as well.
That's absolutely true. Yep, I saw the trees are delivered up to Passion Field. There's a layout area there, a lay-down area, I should say, mm-hmm. that they operate from. So hopefully they'll pop nicely in the spring.
Yeah, something to look forward to next year. Something we all need, I think, for sure.
Amen.
I wonder if you could explain, Mayor, a little bit about the new coronavirus data metrics now that are being implemented and how that's impacting Quincy.
Well, they've changed up the matrix, and you know, without getting into too much detail, the old red zone, which was, you know, the zone you didn't want to be in,
right?
Yellow before that, and green. You know, there was more than 8 cases per 100,000 people in the red. That's not a lot of people, and I think they looked at it. And again, think about this is all new. You know, this whole exercise, all of the response to this virus is all new because we've never dealt with it before. I mean, notwithstanding the pandemic of the early 1900s, but there's no real data on that other than deaths. You know,
right.
So I think that they said, you know what, this is a little harsh, this system. We got to come up with something that's more practical. So it's a combination of your actual cases and your positivity rate. Our positivity rate has been fairly low, roughly between 1% and 2%. And as you know, common sense would say, a lot more testing goes on, you're going to have more cases. So I think by having the combination of the two, then resulting in the new mapping system, probably is more fair and accurate when we're assessing the, you know, the virus.
Okay. And that puts Quincy in the green now instead of the yellow.
We're in the green.
Yeah. So does that mean perhaps full in-person learning at some point?
Well, that's a little bit more challenging. So,
okay.
You know, we've had some issues in some of the schools, and not necessarily school transmissions, but, you know, people get it from outside the school, and then, you know, they're coming in, and then you're doing the tracing, and, you know, then we've got a quarantine staff and you know, students and families, and it gets pretty complicated. So, you know, back of my mind in September, I was hoping that we'd be full back in person after the Christmas break,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not so sure that's going to happen. I mean, I you know, I've talked about this with you,
yep.
and you're probably sick of listening to me, Joe.
No, not at all. I think it's important, actually.
Well, I mean, the whole other issues of all the mental health issues and depression and suicide and addiction, all those other things, you know, there's kids that don't come from necessarily very supportive homes. So the classroom to them is an escape and is a great equalizer for them to have an opportunity to learn and just interact with other kids in a positive atmosphere. So, you know, when we look at these things, I think we have to weigh that as well. You know, this is having a very harmful effect, in my view, on the mental health of a lot of kids.
Mm.
So you got to mix that in. And I know, you know, my school committee colleagues and the folks at the schools, with Kevin Mulvey leading them, you know, everyone's working very hard to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding, I think, a few of the, you know, perhaps loudmouth teachers that follow that that narrative, union narrative, state and nationally, you know. But for the most part, our teachers are doing great work and very flexible and trying to work this out for the benefit of the students. So it's complicated. There's no simple, easy solution. Because now our hopes are up about the vaccine. So
right.
We'll see how long that gets implemented and, you know, hope for the best.
The hardest part would seem to be the actual physical spacing in the schools, you know, to have all the kids back in person and still keep that 6 feet.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Right, at this yep. point, yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the results of the election, Mayor? First of all, your reaction.
There was an election?
Yes, there was a bit of an election, you might have heard. And what's your overall assessment of it?
Well, you know, it's interesting on the process, if I can speak to the process for a moment.
Okay.
You know, the states run, control the process of elections. I just think that for the presidential election, I'd love to see that process consistent in every state across the union so that at least by the next morning, we know who the president of the United States is. I mean, when you think about the early voting opportunity for people, both in person and the mail-in all across the country, there was no reason we're counting ballots a week after the election. I just think that's absurd. You know, it's like a third world country still waiting for the results. And I don't care what side you're on. I don't think it's a partisan issue. I just think for the consistency, if you've got that much opportunity to get your ballot in weeks before and you're waiting until the day before or the day of to drop it in the mail, I just think that's lousy and unfair. We have a, you know, I think as voters, it's a great privilege we have. I think with that comes some responsibility. And I still like to do it in person. I certainly understand, you know, under the virus conditions why we would have the mail-in ballots. But, you know, when you think about the, oh, cripes, hundreds of thousands of soldiers have died for defending this nation and its freedoms, the least we can do is get to a polling place and cast a ballot. Now, that notwithstanding the issue of, you know, handicapped, disabled folks that have the absentee ballot, I think that's excellent. We should continue to do that. But, you know, how much easier do we have to make it for people? And then they still wait to the last minute to drop it in the box. Well, maybe the deadline should be a week before to be postmarked so that everything gets counted. And, you know, and I know in Massachusetts and certainly in Quincy, our election department, Nicole Crispo and Joe Newton and DeBose and the team, they do an incredible job. And they start the counting ahead of time in the system so that we're not counting for days afterwards. Now, you still have the overseas ballots that comes in later, but they have a very marginal effect on the eventual outcome. But, you know, this thing about counting hundreds of thousands of votes after the election polls close in states, I just think it's absurd.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I can tell you that here in Quincy, we received the unofficial results from the city clerk's office before 9 o'clock on election
night. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
No issues.
No, none at all. It didn't seem, at least. And I know that there were federal monitors here in Quincy as well to ensure that there was appropriate access for all voters, and I didn't...
Yeah, I don't understand that one. This city has a great reputation. They seem to come in here on a regular basis. They ought to go to some of the communities that we seem to have trouble with every year on the news, you know?
Hmm.
But whatever. The election department does an excellent job. And of course, we never expected the presidential election in Quincy to be closed, so... We're in Massachusetts, so whoever has the D next to the name is going to be the elected person in Massachusetts for sure.
So, well, let me ask you about that. How do you feel about the results?
Well, I you know, it was a spirited campaign on both sides.
Yeah.
And I said publicly I wasn't too thrilled with my selection or my, you know, the two party choices. I mean, we couldn't do better than that on both sides. But, you know, hey, election has been held, and notwithstanding some of the potential court challenges, it appears President Biden is going to be the new president. And we certainly, whoever the president, I'm certainly wish them well and want to be behind them because we want him to succeed, or him or her, because they succeed, then we succeed as a nation. So, you know, hopefully we can come together. I think that the whole COVID situation really, really added to the outcry this year, the cultural divide, however you want to describe it. I think people cooped up so long, I think manifested itself in a lot of this, you know, in some cases rioting, but in most cases protests around the country. And I think we're better than that. And I get, I almost get embarrassed for our country when other nations are looking at us and say, wow, the land of the home and of the brave and the free, and look at the way they conduct themselves. So, let's hope better days are ahead on all sides. I wonder if the party system is not long for the world. You know, the great division, and I know I've talked about it. Adams talked about it. Washington talked about it, the fear of the party system and what would it do to our country.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, the best person or the best principles or ideals, you know, people vote D or R, and regardless who that individual is. So, you know, it's, the system is troubling, but it is what it is. I mean, I do have no trouble with the Electoral College system, because I think the Founding Fathers saw that, you know, in order to have fairness for these smaller states, they need to be heard over time, then we needed that system in place. So I'm okay with that system, because it, you know, if you did away with the Electoral College, the elections would really be California, New York, Texas, and Florida.
Yeah.
That would be it. That's all they'd campaign in. That would be what would drive the election. So people in the heartland of the country would have no say. So anyway, I'm probably going on way too long here, Joe.
No.
But, you know, it's been an interesting year in many, many ways. I think that a lot of people join me in looking forward to 2021 and seeing 2020 get behind us. And I'm not one to push Father Time, because life is short, but I'll be glad when this year is over.
Yeah. Well, I think it almost highlights the importance of the census, even more so than the two-party system, because that's what the Electoral College is based on.
No question. I mean, we've talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah.
on the census, and absolutely. I mean, on one hand, I see President Biden saying he's going to be the president for all the people, yet he embraced some certainly strong left-wing progressive stances that average middle American doesn't necessarily agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't want to get into the green movement or the abortion or any of that, those things, but, you know, when it comes down to it, for the most part, we are most successful when we operate kind of in the middle. You've got your extremes, but as a government, we kind of come together and come find some compromises and kind of govern from the middle. And, you know, it'd be nice to see that once again.
Mayor, can I ask you about a local issue, a proposal by the city council to create a new Department of Social Justice and Equity, and how you feel about that?
Well, you know, listen, first of all, let me say that I have great respect for the city council as individuals and as the body. So I'll be listening. I haven't had a chance to look at it in great depth. I did take a scan of it, and I saw right off the bat that it mentioned schools and school department. Well, that's not in their purview, so that comes out immediately. You know, school department is run by the school committee and the superintendent and principals under ed reform. So there's that piece of it. I'm not really sure what they're driving at. I mean, I get a little frustrated from time to time with the narrative nationally they're trying to plug into Quincy. I mean, this city is well-run, well-managed, and I say that across the board. I'm not touting my horn. You know, when you look at the priorities of what we do every day, you know, with our school buildings and our class size and our new parks and the expansion of library services, I mean, all these things, you know, promote everybody. Everybody takes advantage of these great services in a safe city that we have. So I'm really not sure what their goal is, other than, you know, to some degree, I think it's pandering. I think it's window dressing. We're going to be going into a very difficult budget year next year, unless the federal government comes in with all kinds of backfilling revenue shortfalls for cities and towns and states. So, you know, I'm going to be very cautious going into the new budget year to see what we're going to be doing for new programs or new expenditures, because I think we're going to be cognizant of that. So again, I'll weigh it. I'll have discussions with some folks. At the end of the day, this is a great city, and you know, people throw these things out. I'm not so sure that there's any real meat to it or what it really means in the end, because we're doing those things that people talk about in the inner cities nationally, what they should be doing for fairness and equity for all people. And we could be a model, I think, for parts of this country that have these troubles. So, and anyway, but back to my first point.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly very respectful of the council. I'll take a look at it.
Okay. Speaking of budgets, I know that the public hearings for setting the property tax rates are coming up. And you had said back in the spring the goal was to keep them level. Is that still the plan?
Well, my team is now going through all of the pieces to it. There's a lot of factors to it. And, again, the values have a great effect on that. That is the goal. I think it's going to be very difficult to do. I am prepared to use free cash and surplus monies to try to meet that goal, because we are down, I think we're down probably about $10 million in revenue from local receipts, you know, room tax and meals tax and, you know, building permit fees. All those items that fall into the local receipt column, it's way down. And, you know, I, my my guess is that's a 1 year, you know, down. If we get into the vaccine issue and we get into a turnaround the first quarter of 21, then I think many of those numbers bounce back and will put us back in a decent shape. But, you know, so all when you mix all that up, the goal is still to hold the line on the average single family. But it might take a miracle to do that. So I haven't seen the final menu they're going to be putting in front of me either today or the next couple of days. And then we'll make the decision, figure out the strategy, and then talk to the council.
Okay, very good. Of course, I want to remind folks, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and there will be a small ceremony up at Marymount Park.
Yes, right by the World War II Memorial,
yep.
Which is a beautiful spot, actually. And it will be a skinny-down version. We have invited, we're not sure if he's going to make it or not, Dean Schaefer, who was a World War II vet. And his birthday is actually on Veterans Day. He'll be turning 100 years old tomorrow.
That's great.
And it'd really be cool if he could join us.
Yeah.
But we also understand that, you know, at that age and his challenges, and we're not sure whether he'll be with us or not for sure. But
sure.
In any case, we will be honoring our veterans at the World War II Monument. It will be a brief ceremony, as we know, with the numbers and everything, with the uptick a little bit in the numbers. We did want to create an atmosphere where we are violating the social distancing rules,
yep.
Particularly with a population that falls in that older category. So we're trying to be respectful of everybody's health, but at the same time, didn't want to miss the opportunity to take a moment, pause, and thank our veterans for all the good commitment and service that they have provided for us.
Yes.
And, you know, some people kind of mix them up. Memorial Day is really for those that have gone before us in service. Veterans Day is for the living, really.
Mm-hmm.
Those veterans who have served and continue to serve who are still with us.
Yeah, we want to remind folks it'll be live here on QATV, 11 a.m. Tomorrow, so they can certainly watch it there as well.
Excellent.
Good to talk to you, Mayor. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Joe. You also.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yep, bye-bye.